Can we thank the worship team one more time, please? Well, you didn't forget to set your clocks forward. Is that what we did? But I want you to lean over and tell the person next to you the funniest story of when you forgot something. The funniest story of when you forgot something. Go. Sounds pretty funny. All right, dial back into Mitch. What'd you come up with? Who's got something funny? Barb, you got something funny? Lauren left you in Walmart and you couldn't find him. So maybe you forgot your spouse at Walmart. Anybody else? Susan? I took bluegill out of her freezer and put it in my husband's trunk. Hold it. She took bluegill out of her freezer and put it in her husband's trunk. Brand new car. He was supposed to take it to his son, but she forgot to tell him. So they drove to Chicago in the summertime in 100-degree heat in a brand new car. This is a sin. Oh, my goodness. Anybody else? Keith, I bet you got some good ones. Go ahead. Hold on. You have seven children, and you left one of them where? At church? Maybe you've forgotten your children at church, your spouse at Walmart, your fish in the trunk.
Discovered one was missing about an hour after.
At the end of the day, he discovered one was missing. No, he said about an hour later. That is amazing. Oh, that's funny. Well, maybe you've forgotten that your garage door was still going up when you backed out of it. Maybe you've forgotten that your garage door was still down when you backed out of it. Maybe you've forgotten that your mother-in-law's car was parked behind yours when you were backing out of your driveway. Maybe you forgot that you had a mailbox. I have done all of the above. Here's the thing, though. You can't forget unless you first experience something. You cannot forget unless you first experience something. And therefore, you cannot remember if you first haven't experienced something. Because to remember is to recall or bring back to mind that which I've experienced. And so when I ask you today, what about God? What kind of circumstances cause you to forget about God? Is it when times are really, really good, really, really bad, or really, really mediocre? Is it maybe, and it was a pattern of choices that got you there, but is it maybe when you have this big, seemingly insurmountable gap between you and what you think life should be like, some huge challenge? What we're going to learn today is that remembering and forgetting is not a matter of our circumstances, but it's a matter of our heart. It's not the challenge in front of us, it's a matter of our heart. July 1st, 1992, when the IRS Criminal Division raided my office with guns because they thought Cruise International was a well-contrived money laundering business, which it was not. I had been experiencing a day-to-day struggle on whether or not I could stay in business, didn't know how I would pay my payroll. I had people I had owed on my payables for 2 years and hadn't paid them. I really didn't know how we would survive. And when the IRS raided us, I just thought, well, if the IRS didn't get us, the attorney fees would, and this would be the straw that would break the proverbial camel's back. And I went home that night and got on my knees by my bed. And I surrendered to God all of that which I had held back, my business, some things in my private life, personal life, and I didn't even know what I was asking. I said, God, just take my life and take my business and just make it a ministry. Ironically, now that it's worth nothing, I'm willing to surrender it to you. Yeah, it is kind of funny. But while I was there on my knees beside my bed on July 1st, 1992, as a young adult, I remembered something. I remembered that there was this little boy who was 9 years old and lived about a half mile from his church, and he used to walk down to that church in the summertime. And oftentimes the pastor or the staff wouldn't be there, and he'd walk in when no one else was there, and he'd walk to the altar and he'd get on his knees and he'd say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And 17 years later, I was that little boy grown up asking God the same exact question in the same position by my bed. And had I not first experienced the grace and the salvation of God as a little 9-year-old, I would not have been able to remember the crossing, my crossing from death to life, because I'd have lived a decade of forgetting God, of forgetting God in my personal life, or forgetting God in my business life. And I wonder if today maybe you've forgotten God. There's some situation in your life, and it seems like this seemingly insurmountable circumstance, a Jordan River, if you will. Are you going to forget God, and have you forgotten God? Or will you remember the crossing? Not just the crossing of the Israelites across the Jordan, which we're going to learn about, but your crossing from death to life. You see, about 3,500 years ago, Joshua was leading the Israelites into the Promised Land. And with about 2.5 million people, he comes to the edges of the Jordan River, about a mile wide where they are. It's 70 miles long, about a mile wide where they had crossed, probably at least 100 feet deep, 200 feet lower than the land around it, this multi-mile, 14-mile kind of a gorge, the river basin that surrounds it. And Joshua remembered that God had parted the Red Sea for Moses, but would he do the same with the Jordan River for Joshua? And whereas God just parted the Red Sea with Moses' staff prior, this time he asked the priest to first step into the water with the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord, and then the waters would part. I wonder if today God's asking you to maybe take another step of faith. Another step of faith toward him. Because after they had all crossed, they picked up 12 stones, God said, 12 stones, one from each tribe, to remember the crossing. And you were handed a stone when you walked in here today, and it's to help you to remember the crossing. Not just the crossing of the Israelites across the Jordan River, but your crossing and my crossing from death to life. And I wonder if God's asking you again to take another step of faith with whatever that challenge, whatever that Jordan River is in front of you right now. So let's pray. God, I just pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would move in the hearts of each one of us, God, and that you would help us to remember the crossing. God, many of us walked in here today, in fact, probably all of us walked in today forgetting you in some part of our lives. Coincidentally, that part of our life is probably now this Jordan River. So big, so wide, so deep, there's no way we're going to get across. But God, speak to us today and what you'd like to get across to us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 12 stones, remember God's provision of the crossing. I'd like you to turn to Joshua 3. We're going to not stand as we read because we're going to read as we go. Joshua chapters 3 and 4. Remember the crossing, 12 stones. Remember God's provision of the crossing. And the first thing that we see is that to remember anything, we first have to experience it. So to remember God's provision of the crossing, we have to first write it down. We have to first experience God. I'm going to pick up Joshua 3 and verse 5, and let's just read there the first 13 verses, because what we're going to see first underneath experience God is, I want you to write down, we need to experience God's vision. We need to experience God's vision. Joshua 3, I'm going to pick it up in verse 5 and go to verse 13. If I go farther, somebody please stop me. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites who will all be out of sight. That's the New Living Translation. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth, including the Jordan, including whatever is before you now. Now then choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, they're getting something across to us here, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. To experience God, first we need to experience God's vision that he cast through Joshua and Joshua cast to the people, that they were going to take a step of faith and God would provide. Verse 5 says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things. God's casting his vision, that they may know, verse 9, that I am with you, Joshua, as I was with Moses, that they may know, and that you will know that the living God is among you, and he will certainly drive out your enemies. Verse 10. Know, to experience God. Know in Hebrew and know in Greek is to experience God. It's not mere mental assent. It's this experience, this intimate, deep innermost part of my heart experience with the deep innermost part of God's. That's interesting. The Bible says that Christ is the vision of God. For to experience God, we need to experience first his vision. And Christ is the vision of God. Look at what it says in Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on who? Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, got his own crossing, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's the light of the world. God has designed it so that the vision for our lives would be Christ. Not a particular job per se, although he can call you in and give you a vision for a particular career. Not necessarily to be rich, not necessarily to be poor. Not necessarily for times to be good, to be bad, to be mediocre, but for my heart to be shaped like Christ, Romans 8:29. God has designed it so that everything in my life, his vision for my life, is to have my heart, my innermost being, experience the heart of the living God in Christ and have my heart shaped, my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my choices, that they would all be experienced and shaped and molded into the heart of Jesus Christ. And so whatever it is you're facing today, whatever that Jordan River is, don't forget that the God who parted that Jordan River and the God who you might have forgotten in this moment is the same God that bridged the gap of sin and death. He bridged the gap of sin and death, the Jordan River of sin and death, the seemingly insurmountable, no, the insurmountable gap of sin and death that we could never fill for ourselves. God in Christ bridged that gap, and whatever you're facing today, it's not that big. It's not as big as the gap of sin and death. And I want you to write down right now where you were or what the circumstances were or just a reminder of that point in time where you crossed over. I want you to remember your crossing and when you crossed over from death to life, when you took your step of faith into the waters that Christ had bridged for you, that you took that step of faith toward Christ. Write it down right now. The moment, you know, I was 9 years old when I surrendered my life to Christ as Savior and Lord. And had I not, I couldn't remember when I was 26 years old on what a mess my life had become. I would have nothing to remember because I had first not experienced God's vision for my life. And his vision for my life wasn't to be rich, wasn't to be poor, wasn't to be smart, wasn't to be stupid. It was to be shaped like the heart of Christ. And that's what his vision is for you. And I want you to remember right now, when you took that step of faith and crossed over from death to life, write down something that reminds you of that. Second, to experience God, we need to experience not only God's vision, but we experience that it's followed by God's provision. Write it down, that it's followed by God's provision. In this Hebrew literary style, I believe that they're telling us the story virtually two times, much like the creation story is told twice to us. So I'm going to read to you Joshua 3, 14 through 17, and then I'm going to jump to Joshua 4, verses 10 through 18, and hopefully that'll make sense to you. Joshua 3, verses 14 through 17 will come on the screen. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. That means that it's at least a mile wide. It's at least 100 feet deep. There's a drop of 200 feet, 7 miles to each side getting there. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. And it piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who had carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation, 2.5 million people probably, had completed the crossing, not on muddy, not on slushy ground, but on dry ground. Chapter 4, verses 10 through 18. Now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over. I think I would have hurried over. Because I was thinking about how tall, you know, if the water's 100 feet deep, when you're passing by, even though it might be a distance away, it's probably at least 100 feet tall, probably three times the height of this facility. Come on, kids, let's go. I saw at the Red Sea, the Egyptians drowned, you know. I saw earthquakes where it swallowed up people. Let's get across, you know. It's kind of funny they hurried. It's funnier to me than it is to you. Verse 11. And as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, armed in front of the Israelites, and getting ready for battle. As Moses had directed them, about 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. That day the Lord exalted Joshua. His provision followed his vision in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him all the days of his life, just as they had revered Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests carrying the Ark of the Testimony. Oh, you know what testimony means? It means reminder. It means reminder. The ark is mentioned 17 times in, I think, 41 verses. Just about every other verse mentions the ark. It was the picture of God's presence. It housed the Ten Commandments. It was the Ark of the Testimony, a reminder that God's vision is followed by his provision. Command the priests carrying the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests to come up out of the Jordan, and the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. God's vision is followed by his provision. To remember the crossing, I first need to experience God. I need to experience that God's vision is followed by his provisions. God's vision for my life is Christ. God's provision is Christ. This is so interesting. Look at Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17 is where we learn that Christ is the provision of God. He's not just the vision of God, he's the provision of God. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my provision of grace and righteousness. undeserved love, unmerited favor, God's riches at Christ's expense. Remember the crossing. That God's vision is followed by his provision. That God's vision is followed by his provision. And it's not just that first crossing from death to life. It's all those other Jordan rivers that we come up against, all those other challenges where maybe we've forgotten God and it's time to remember, and maybe you got one today. And just as the water began to flow again after they had crossed and after they took the step of faith and walked across on dry ground, just as the water began to flow again and the rapids came. So let that be a picture of our being a rapid Holy Spirit responder. Write that down. A rapid Holy Spirit responder. A rapid Holy Spirit responder. Realizing that God's vision is followed by his provision. And so when God prompts me with whatever the Jordan River challenge is in my life, whatever you're experiencing right now, to not forget but to remember, realize that he's prompting me toward my heart being shaped like Christ. He's my vision and my provision. And remember the crossing, that river of sin and death, that gap, Isaiah 59:2, that gap that separated us from God was as big a Jordan River as we have ever faced. And remember the crossing. By grace, through faith, God's riches at Christ's expense. That I experienced that God's vision was followed by his provision in Christ. And that whatever Jordan I'm facing now isn't as big as that. And the same God, not just through the salvation experience, but through sanctifying experiences, will continue to mold and shape my heart to be like his. And that's what I need to see in the light of this Jordan River that's ahead of me today. You know, after I got up off my knees on July 1st, 1992, I began to pray every morning and every night for every single event I had that year. I had about 52 events a year. I'd pray for the people involved. I'd pray for the event itself. And in my mind, I'd go through my entire office building and I'd pray for all my employees. I'd do a similar thing today. I pray for you. I pray for people on staff here. I pray when I coach basketball. I pray for the girls on the team. And here's what happened to me. And maybe it happens to you. But I'd be praying and I'd get this idea. And I thought, well, wait a minute. I get this idea while I'm praying. Is that God's vision? Will it be followed by his provision? Should I do it? And really the discerning factor was it going to help me be more Christ-like in my heart or help others around me be so? Not to get rich, not to get poor, not to be mediocre, but to be shaped like Christ, God's vision and God's provision. And so I would do it. I became this rapid, I'm still becoming, this rapid Holy Spirit responder. When God's vision would come to me in a prayer, I would go do it, and I would experience God's provision. And it was amazing to me to live that life. But you know, as Christians, we get very religious and legalistic, and we want to put God in a box. And if we do this, he will do that. No! God's got an adventure for you and for me to experience him, that his vision is followed by his provision, and it's to make us more like Christ. And so I was on I've been on the board of several nonprofits. I was on a board of a Christian nonprofit, and this guy walked in that I thought it was so clear. We were blessed that the guy would even consider working at this place. And this discussion came up as he left. I'm not kidding you, half hour, maybe an hour. And I said, can I say something? I said, I'm trying to be this rapid Holy Spirit responder because I've discovered in my life that God's vision is followed by his provision. I said, but when I see his vision, I'm going to respond rapidly because I know it's been followed by his provision. And frankly, with all this discussion, I'm wondering if Jesus would walk into the door, if we would hire him. And I said, our answer to our prayer walked in the door. We knew it when he walked in. He's well overqualified. We're blessed by his presence. Could we please just hire him and be rapid Holy Spirit responders? And we did. And God's vision was followed by his provision. It was amazing. Well, in your life, I want you to be a rapid Holy Spirit responder. I want you to remember that the God that parted the Jordan River is the God that parted the Red Sea. If you guys want to come up. There's a song that I want you to experience right now. And I want you to remember that this God that bridged the gap of sin and death, the Jordan River of sin and death in our lives, desiring life apart from God, a different vision, and finding a different provision than he asked for us, death. That's the same God that's with us right now that we can remember and quit forgetting to shape our heart to be like his, to be rapid Holy Spirit responders and learn that he's a God of history whose vision is followed by his provision.
Held in Egypt's bondage, I had long a wonder been.
Just the same, just the same as the days of long ago.
Just as much a miracle that led me out of sin.
Oh, I am delivered out
from the hands of Pharaoh.
Delivered
out by Jehovah's
wondrous
might.
Wondrous
might.
He walks
on beside me.
Hallelujah,
this I know.
Your cloud
comes by day, by fire,
by night.
I'm delivered
from the hands of
Pharaoh. Israel rejoiced when they walked out upon the shore.
That's just the same,
just the same as the days of long ago. So my feeble voice I raise his goodness to adore.
Oh,
I'm delivered out from the hands of Pharaoh.
Delivered
out
by Jehovah's
wondrous
might.
He walks
on beside
me.
Hallelujah,
yes, I know.
Clouds
by day,
by night,
fire by night.
Oh,
I'm delivered from the hands of Pharaoh.
Hallelujah,
clouds by day,
by day,
and bright fire by night.
I'm delivered
from the hands of Pharaoh.
Wow, that's awesome. Isn't that awesome? Wait. It was good. Wait. Let's do it again so we don't forget it. You know, we want to remember. And as you're doing that, as you're listening to this song, I want you to think about being a rapid Holy Spirit responder, and I want you to maybe jot down how God has provided for you, how God's vision in Christ was followed by his provision in Christ. And what that looks like for you, maybe it's like, you know, I have three daughters I otherwise wouldn't have. I have a relationship with a fourth I would have never had. I'm part of God's kingdom growing in a way that I never thought would be possible. All because God's vision is followed by his provision. And whatever that Jordan is, he's the God that parted the Jordan of sin and death and bridge that gap for the crossing. And he's the one that can do whatever it is for you right now to shape your heart to be more like his. If you would just be a rapid Holy Spirit responder and realize and remember that God's vision is followed by his provision. Let's hear it again, man. Woo!
Held in Egypt's bondage, I had long a wonder been.
God's just the same,
just the same as the days of long ago. Just as much a miracle that led me out of sin.
Oh,
I'm delivered out from the hands of Pharaoh.
Delivered out
by Jehovah's
wondrous
might.
He walks with me,
he walks beside
me.
Hallelujah, this I know.
Cloud
by day,
by
bright fire by night.
I'm delivered out
from the hands of Pharaoh. His Israel rejoiced when they walked out upon the shore.
God's just the same.
He's just the same as the days of long ago. So my feeble voice I raise his goodness to adore. Oh, I'm delivered from the hands of Pharaoh. Delivered I by Jehovah's wondrous might. He walks on the sands. Hallelujah, this I know.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, why don't you come back up? Oh, no. We got to finish. Oh, isn't that great? Well, what about you? Well, you remember that God's vision is followed by his provision. It's point two, if you want to write that down. Remember that God's vision is followed by his provision. Remember to recall, to bring back to mind again. We're going to read Joshua 4, 1 through 9, and then down to 19 through 24. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you in the future when your children ask you. In the future when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Jump down to verse 19 through 24. Now, some people argue that these are two different piles of 12 stones. I tend to think that they're the same, and that it's the Hebrew literary device of telling us the story twice, and also 12. One argument is that 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the bottom of the river, 100 feet deep, wouldn't be a memorial that children would ask about. So jump down to verses 19. I think it sheds more light on it. On the 10th day of the first month, oh gosh, this is so interesting. This is the day that they would pick the Passover lamb. This is a very important day for them. And this was about 2 months after Moses' death, just coming off the grieving of that. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal. Gilgal, a place that became very important to them. That's where Saul was crowned king. That's where the first Passover we see in chapter 5 of Joshua was held. Gilgal was an important place on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones. He set up the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up, just what they sang about before us until we had crossed over. He did this, why? So that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and that you might always fear the Lord your God. Two things I want you to write down. This is why we're to remember that God's vision is followed by his provision. Number one, write down, the hand of the Lord is powerful. So that all peoples would know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. And two, so that we would always fear the Lord our God. One, that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and two, that we would always fear the Lord our God. That's why. So in the future, when your children ask you, what did these stones mean? Remember that the hand of the Lord is powerful. Know in Hebrew, as I mentioned, and in Greek, means to experience. And hand in Hebrew just drops the last letter of know. So it's yad ha and yad. And so I think there's this play on words that I would experience life in the hand of God. And the hand of God is powerful. See, the Ark of the Covenant housed the Ten Commandments. It was a picture of God's presence with them. And it's repeated 17 times in these two chapters of about 41 verses. And so the author is telling us to know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. And I got to thinking that this is the hand of the Lord that stopped the flow of living water that was melting. It was flowing in from the Sea of Galilee, but it was also melting down from Mount Lebanon right there. And there was this huge flow of water. And this hand of God, symbolized in the Ark of the Covenant, is heaping this water up over 100 feet high. As this hand of God dries up the water this way, and it flows downward, flows south to the Dead Sea, where everything dies because of all the salt. Life and death, north and south, vertically bridged by the hand of God. And then I got to thinking, what about east-west? And that horizontally, God had brought the people from death, the death of the desert in the 40 years, from disobedience, from forgetting, to a new group of people. Bring them to life in the promised land. You know, the Bible tells us that God has placed everything in Christ's hands, John 3:35. God has placed everything in Christ's hands. And it's the hands of God in Christ that has bridged the gap that we had between God and man because of sin and death. And it's the hand of God in Christ that bridges the gap for us in whatever relational conflict we're in right now. And so in a very cool way, this is an historical event. This did take place. This miracle took place. But it's also kind of a picture, kind of a foretelling of Jesus Christ and the crossing of Christ that allows you and I to take steps of faith and realize that God's vision is followed by his provision, and we live a life of remembering. Also talking about the cross of Christ, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:24, if you want to write it down, that Christ is the power of God. The hand of the Lord is powerful. God has placed everything into Christ's hands. Christ is the power of God. God keeps his promises, is what this is a picture of. David wrote in Psalm 145:13, and this is something I've struggled with, because growing up in a church, and anyone who grows up in the church, this is a risk, that you treat a relationship with God as a formula, as religion. If you do this, then God will do that. Not so. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures for all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. Joshua probably wrote, Joshua 21:45, look what he said. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Not one. Everyone was fulfilled. Remember that God's vision is followed by his provision. First, the hand of the Lord is powerful. Second, why? That we would always fear the Lord our God. I want to write this down. Remember, it's not the circumstance of the Jordan in front of me that determines whether I remember or forget. It's my heart. A soft heart remembers, a hard heart forgets. A humble heart remembers, a proud heart forgets. Look at Deuteronomy 8:18. Deuteronomy 8:18, humility remembers. But remember the Lord your God. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, to have things to go well, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. That comes out of a context where it's talking about humility contrasted with pride. So look what it says that pride does in verses 19 and 20 of Deuteronomy 8. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods because of your proud heart, a few verses up, and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God, for not remembering that God's vision is followed by his provision. And you know what's amazing? They forgot. Just like you and I do, they forgot. Judges 2:10. Susan and I were in the kitchen. She's reading through the Bible this year like I've challenged you to do, and I'm reading through it. How many people are reading through the Bible this year? Oh, man, that's awesome. We were in Judges, and Susan said, why do I need to know that a guy cut up his concubine? Why does God want me to know that God cut up a concubine into 12 pieces and sent it all over the country? Why do I need to know that? I said, because of what sandwich is it? Judges 2:10, after that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew, who experienced neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. They forgot. And look how Judges closes. In those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit. 1 Samuel 12:9, as I was reading through the Bible, popped out to me in a whole different way. It's referencing back to these same people. It says, but they forgot the Lord their God. They forgot. Their hearts grew proud. Proverbs 22:4, I think, says that the reward of humility is the fear of the Lord. This is in the Jerusalem translation. The reward of humility is the fear of the Lord. Humility precedes everything that God wants to shape me to be like Christ. Humility precedes life, a humble heart condition toward God, toward Christ. Precedes life, eternal and abundant. The experience of the intimacy with God. A humble heart precedes obedience. A humble heart precedes finding God's vision for my life. It precedes godly leadership, servant leadership. It precedes love. It precedes forgiveness. It precedes faith. It precedes repentance. It's the heart condition that God desires us to have, because Christ is humble in heart. Christ is not only the power of God, God has not only placed everything into his hands, but write this down, Christ is humble in heart. And that's why God wants to shape me. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you, means be my disciple, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you'll find restoration for your souls. Whatever your Jordan River is today, the God that bridged the gap of sin and death for your crossing from death to life, John 5:24. Jesus said, when you take that step of faith, you cross over from death to life. That God is the same God that you can remember right now. You can remember that his vision in Christ is followed by his provision in Christ, and he will continue with your humble heart to shape you to be like him. Whether times are really, really good, really, really bad, or really, really mediocre, it's not the Jordan River that you're facing. It's your heart that will determine whether you will remember or whether you will forget. So which will you do? Will you remember or forget God's provision of the crossing in your life? Not just the Israelites crossing the Jordan River, but your crossing from death to life, and then your numerous Jordan River crossings thereafter of sanctification, having your heart shaped like Christ. Will you remember or will you forget? Will you remember that God's vision is followed by his provision, or will you forget? It's a condition of your heart. It'll either be hard or it'll be soft. If it's soft, you will remember, and you will be a rapid Holy Spirit responder. Will you today humble or harden your heart? I've asked the guys to come up. And the team's going to sing a song about remembering. And I've given you a stone. You all have that? And in preparing for this message, it dawned on me, you know, these 12 stones, this memorial, this opportunity to remember God, that God's vision is followed by his provision, that I experienced that in crossing from death to life because of the crossing of Jesus Christ, but also in every other conflict that I've had. But it dawned on me that I don't think I've ever heard the story of my dad's salvation experience, my mom's salvation experience, nor do I think I've told my children the details of my salvation experience. I want you to take that stone home today and remember as a memorial, and maybe call, email, whatever you got to do, whether it's your children, grandchildren, or some friend. I want you to share your story. Your story of God's vision in Christ being followed by his provision in Christ. I want you to remember. Now, I want you to be a rapid Holy Spirit responder and trust that the Spirit of God was alive and at work in me when he challenged me to share this with you. I want you to see what he does with it. I want you to experience again that God's vision is followed by his provision in Christ, not to make you smart, not to make you stupid, not to make you rich, not to make you poor, but to make your heart like Christ, humble and soft. I want you to share that story. See, I've heard lots of stories, and I've seen marked up Bibles from my dad or my mom. I've heard lots of stories of sanctification. But I want you to go home today and share your story of salvation and let that stone be a memorial. So when your kids ask, what's that stone for? You just tell them. You tell them your story. And then I want you to live your life with memorials of a Bible marked up, of a prayer journal, of letters, of changed lives around you that flow in and out of your house or your business or your career, whatever it is, that they would all be memorials to show your children and their children that the hand of the Lord is powerful. And will you always fear the Lord, that you always fear the Lord, you always humble your heart toward him, and you experience that God's vision is followed by his provision. So as they sing, I'd like you to just close your eyes and put palms up and allow the Spirit of God to work in you right now on whatever your Jordan River experience is. And will you remember the crossing? Will you remember the crossing? Stand. With palms lifted up, I'd just like you to ask God, what does it look like for you to live life remembering that his vision is followed by his provision? What will tomorrow look like? What will today look like? And I invite you to keep that stone out where people can ask you, hey, what's that mean? because I think there's something about sharing your story that helps you remember that God's vision is followed by his provision. And so as Chris sings, I want you to ask, you know, what's this week, what's this life look like for me? How's it going to be different? How do I keep that stone out there, that little memorial to help people ask and to remember that your vision is followed by your provision, to remember your provision for the crossing of my life from death to life? But then, you know, I got to thinking that there's probably a few people here who have nothing to remember. You haven't crossed from death to life. And today you need to take that step of faith toward Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord. There's a gap of sin, of desiring life apart from God and separation from him, a Jordan River that you will never be able to bridge on your own. And would you remember today the crossing of Jesus Christ, who came and lived a perfect life, died on a cross and resurrected and provided his spirit right now, to prompt you with his vision and to be followed by his provision of eternal life. And right now, you just need to take that step of faith like they did in the Jordan River and surrender your heart and life to him and receive his provision of grace and forgiveness. Jesus, before he went to the cross, prayed and he looked up into heaven. And it says in John 17:3 that he said, "This is the eternal life that I want them to know. And I'll define it for you right now. It's to know God and to know Jesus Christ, to experience me, to experience God, to experience Christ." That's what Jesus prayed. And you know what? In that prayer, he prayed for you right now that you would cross over from death to life by grace through faith. And I invite you to do that right now and let these words that Chris sang be your prayer.
I still remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call.
God, may it be so for every single person here to experience that your vision is followed by your provision, and your vision is Christ, and your provision is Christ, and that we would live lives of remembering you by being rapid Holy Spirit responders, that when you give us your vision of the Holy Spirit, that would do something, to take a step of faith that would shape us to be more like you, that we would do so, and that we would experience your provision, God, that your hand is powerful, and that we would always humble our hearts to you. God, help us to share the stories with our children, our grandchildren, friends, and anyone who asks. We love you and we praise you and we thank you for who you are. And God, if someone here today surrendered his or her life to you, help them tell somebody. It doesn't have to be me, but help them share it with somebody, God. And please bring people along to disciple them. We love you and we praise you. God, give us the week that you want us to have in Jesus' name.